Amen. Lee, you may be seated. And as I've said before, we are having all month long, our children's ministry will be staying in the sanctuary. And as our men are passing out the Bibles, make sure some of these young people have a Bible in their hands. We're missing one on the front row here. Brother Divine, right down here in front. Well, good morning. Let's try that again. Good morning, Living Hope Church. What a great day it is to be here in the house of God. Grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. All over the sanctuary, whether in digital or printed format, would you please hold the Word of God up into the air? Amen. What a wonderful thing it is to have the opportunity to read directly from the Word of the Living God. You will notice a little house cleaning before I proceed. You'll notice right in front of me we have our chest down here, our giving chest. And so after our offering today, and as we're singing our going home song, we will have our Lottie Moon offering. So please bring your offering to Lottie Moon down here at that time. Please find your way to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. The Gospel of Luke, the book of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, as we continue our current series, Christ, the Heart of Christmas. Christ, the Heart of Christmas. What a good thing it is to be able to come into this house today. Amen? And what a wonderful thing it was as we witnessed that remarkable offering from Davidson and acceptance by Marcia. And I no pressure in that one. I had much more pressure than that when I proposed to Miss Ruth Ann, though, because of Ruth Ann's father. And if you've ever seen our wedding pictures, as a matter of fact, next week we are having Pastor's Open House. We're going to talk about that more at the end of today's service, but please come by. Ask Miss Ruth Ann to see our wedding album. And you will see there that her father and her two brothers look like something straight out of The Godfather. And so there's a little bit of intimidation there with that. So if you found your way to Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 14, please say amen. Amen. Reading from the Word of God. This particular section of the passage about the advent of Christ is declared and called the glory into the highest. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to the God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I was so grateful for the worship music that Miss Jamie chose for today's service, and just how appropriate it was as we sang "Glory to God in the highest" in Excelsis Deo. But also that the final song that we sang before I began today's message was Jesus Messiah. Talking about the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. You see, Christ came into this world for one purpose, to die for our sins at Calvary. And we can never get excited about Christmas without remembering the cross of Calvary. They are inseparable, and the entire reason for Christ coming to the world. Before I continue, if you look in your notes there, Pastor Larry made another mistake in the notes. So if you see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you see the text there, just cross that out. Just leave the blank spot. We'll fill in the blank spot today. Amen? Wait a minute. Is Miss Margaret here? No, she's traveling today. No, it was her fault. No, it was my fault. It was totally my fault. Miss Margaret, I was joking there, if you're listening in. You know, I remember the first time I tried telling a real skeptic about the story of God's love through Jesus Christ. I was speaking to an unbeliever where I worked at the time. And after I shared the gospel, I don't remember what I said, but I'm sure it was something wonderful. I'm sure it was something theologically awesome, as they say. He had some questions for me. And this was how the conversation went, as much as I can remember the conversation. It was some years ago. He asked, "You mean to tell me that God became a baby and was born in a sheep stable?" Yes, that is correct, I said. "And he lived a perfect, sinless life, and he loved and he healed people, and he never turned down anyone that came seeking him." Yes, that is correct. "And this crucifixion story, he was actually betrayed by his own followers, his own people. No one came to his defense, and then he was executed like a common junkyard thief." Yes, that's the gist of it. "And after he was killed, he was buried in a borrowed grave." A borrowed grave. That's correct. He had no grave. He had no money to purchase a grave of his own. "And according to what is written in this," what do you call it, your Bible? "After 3 days in the grave, he was resurrected and appeared to his followers and then at least 500 other people." Is that what you're telling me? Yes. "And all of this was to prove that God still loves people in spite of our disobedience and provides a way for us to return to him." That is correct. He then looked me straight in the eyes. He said, "Doesn't that all of that sound rather absurd? Doesn't that sound ridiculous?" And I said, "Yes, I suppose when you look at the facts, it does sound completely absurd." But then I said, "But that is exactly what happened. That is exactly what happened. Friends, I was saved when I was very young. And at some point I drifted away from Jesus Christ. And as I went merrily along my way, living my life and doing whatever I wanted, one day, God sent the Holy Spirit to my wife, and she prayed. My wife prayed for me. I'm hoping that it didn't go something like this, 'Lord, do something with him.' I'm hoping it's more like, 'Lord, I know you can do something with him.'" Amen, ladies? And as she started praying for me, the Holy Spirit visited my heart as well. And I remembered, and I picked up my Bible, the Word of God, and I started to read. And Jesus once again revealed himself to me in his Word. Holy Scriptures. The Word of God. You know, at first I didn't recognize him. It had been so long since I'd spent time in the Word of God, but it was definitely him. It was definitely the Lord Jesus that I saw throughout all the pages of Scripture. There he was again, in Holy Scripture, God in the flesh, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, King of kings, Lord of lords, blood-stained royalty, God with tears, a Creator with a heart, a Creator God that loved me. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that I had forgotten that. Can you imagine a God that loves us? It is absurd to think that God, to think that this King Jesus would go through so much poverty, we spoke about that last week, and so much suffering to share such a treasure as salvation with each and every one of us. With an undeserving and thankless person like myself. But he did that. God did that. And there's something even more absurd than that gift. Now you may be asking, how can anything be more absurd than God himself dying on the cross and offering us the free gift of salvation? Well, there is. And that's the unwillingness by some people to receive the free gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Amen? People looking for all kinds of ways into heaven when God made it ridiculously simple. I'm a simple guy. I've said many times, you guys know, I'm not going to share any more stories of how Miss Ruth Ann keeps it simple for me. But God made it simple for me. He made it simple for all of us. You want to get to heaven? John 14:6 says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. To God be the glory. Amen? Amen. And so today I have a few notes here, now that we've scribbled out the old stuff. I have 5 points that we're going to talk about. And we're going to talk about, as Christ, the heart of Christmas, we're going to look at the heart of love of the Lord Jesus Christ. The heart of love of God. Point number one, we will see His remarkable love. His remarkable love. Look, if you will, once again, in your Bibles, at verse 8 in the book of Luke. If you're there, say amen. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Now, there were in the same country, here we go, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. On the night that the Savior of the entire creation was born, who was it that received the invitation to greet the newborn King of Kings? Who was it that received the invitation to go and see and be present at the presentation of the Lord of Lords, the Balm of Gilead, the Lion of the tribe of Judah? Was it the world's emperors? Was it the priests, the prophets? Was it the soldiers of Israel? Was it people with money and the stature befitting such a glorious occasion? Such a marvelous moment? Was it the scholars? Was it the theologically learned? Who were the first human visitors into the presence of God with us on earth, Emmanuel? Friends, that is an honor reserved for the lowest of the low in their society. The lowest of the low, the least educated of men, ranch hands that were despised by the local gentry, avoided by the regular folks. We don't hang out with people like that, is how they would have been referred to. Men who slept and worked in the open, covered with sweat, usually dirty. Their clothes smelled like the fields. As a matter of fact, we had a saying when I was growing up in Mississippi, you smell like an old polecat. Now, moms, you guys know that there's a certain aroma that only boys can get. And you just know they've been playing with something dead that they probably killed 2 weeks ago and they went back to check on it. You know? But, friends, they're covered in sweat, usually dirty. Their clothes smell like the field. They were men that lacked the most basic of manners. They probably used language completely unfit for children. Men that were likely to be refused entry into any respectable local establishment. Guys, and these shepherds had names that are never recorded anywhere in Scripture. Do you serve God? Are you obedient to God and wonder if anybody ever cares? I'm telling you right now, God cares. Amen. God cares about your service. God cares about your faithfulness. God cares about your obedience. God cares that you serve in the quiet places. God cares about that. God loves you for that. But these shepherds, whatever their names might have been, they were on the guest list for the most joyful moment in all of human history. As Emmanuel, God with us, came in love. How wonderful that the gospel, the good news message, should have been first given to shepherds in the field. Amen? This kind of stuff drives the theological legalists crazy. Shepherds? Well, first, what's problems with that? Well, first, they were incapable of keeping the Sabbath. These men were completely incapable, because of their jobs, of keeping the Sabbath. And keeping the Sabbath was one of the statutes of the law of the Pharisees. But listen, guys, sheep have no idea it's Sunday. Sheep have no idea it's the Sabbath. They need to be fed, they need to be tended, they need to be cared for. But God came to shepherds in the field. You know, that's why when somebody's working at a job that they've gotten, and they're one of our members, and their job changes to where their employer forces them to work on a Sunday morning, We certainly want to pray about that. We want to pray that God would send them a better job or a different job where they can make our services. But there's a reason that we have our apps and our website and our videos that are streamed. It's for our membership and for reaching the, sending the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. I'm one of those pastors that say, listen, you've got to take care of your family. We want you in here Sunday morning. We're going to encourage you and pray that you get a different job that allows you to be here. But friends, don't you ever think your pastor's holding it against you because your employer forces you to do that. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So listen, God came to shepherds in the field. Quite fitting, of course. If you think about it, if you take a moment and just really mull this over in your mind, you know, because Jesus never refers to himself one time as a rabbi or a priest or a bishop or an elder. He doesn't refer to himself like that at all. No. King Jesus refers to himself as what? The shepherd. King Jesus is the shepherd. To the followers, we are referred to as the sheep. Now, I thought that was just so sweet until I went and studied sheep. It's not a real compliment. They're not terribly bright. They smell. But I'm meddling. I'm going to move along here. But Jesus never once refers to himself in that manner. In fact, Jesus has repeatedly said that he came into this world to gather the sheep. He says, I came to seek and save that which was lost. He came for me. Jesus came for you. And if you're watching on the internet today, I want you to know that Jesus Christ came in this world specifically for you. This message is for you to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. And Jesus comes to you where you are, as you are. Don't think you need to get better to become a Christian. I mean, I know all of these remarkably sparkling spiritual specimens right here in our sanctuary don't have any problems with the worldly things. Everybody have a good laugh right now. But friends, Christ comes where we are as we are. Amen? So first we see His remarkable love. Next, we will see His refreshing love. His refreshing love. Look if you would, please, as you're writing in your notes. And we're now going to read, I'm going to read verses 9 and 10 about Christ's refreshing love. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Now imagine the shepherds are in the field doing what shepherds do when an angel of the Lord appears. Can you imagine? No, we cannot imagine. An angel of the Lord sent from the throne room of heaven. The text says, behold, which means to see and to know. Now, what did that mean? What did that mean? Well, first, the shepherds who saw this angel knew that they were looking at an angel of the Lord. I'm not sure you guys quite got that. I'm going to say it again. The shepherds who saw this angel knew that they were looking at an angel of the Lord. Now, how in the world did they know that? Look at the text. This angel stands there and it says, behold, the glory of the Lord shone around him. The glory of the Lord. Guys, the Lord sent one of His angels and He bathed His messenger in His Shekinah glory. He bathed His messenger in His glory. In other words, God's magnificence, God's majesty, God's excellence, God's essence were present in His messenger, this angel. Why is that so important? Why am I stressing that to such an extent? Friends, it's because all messengers of the Lord, all messengers of the Lord can be recognized because they point to the Lord. They point to the Lord's glory. They realize whom it is that they serve. Pastors are not here, and preachers are not here simply to be speaking words and trying to impress people with the way that we present a message. Our job is to point to the glory of the Lord. The praise team and their singing, their job is to point to the glory of the Lord. Our praise band, as amazingly as Davidson and Cliff and all of our musicians playing and DJ and Brother Ronell, as amazing as they are, their job is to point to the glory of the Lord. Our greeters and our audio team and our sound team and our deacons and our elders, our job is to point to the glory of the Lord. And when God does something in your life, when you are the redeemed of God, your job is to point to the glory of the Lord. That is what we are here for. This has to be a terrifying moment for the shepherds. But look again at verse 10. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." In Scripture, I want you to understand that whenever angels come on the scene, they always say two things. Sometimes both things, but there's always two things they lead their conversation with. First off is, "Fear not." And there's a reason an angel of the Lord should be feared. Back in the first five books of the Bible, in the book of Leviticus and the book of Exodus, it talks about an angel of the Lord was loosed for 30 minutes and killed 185,000 Amalekites. And Moses said, "That's enough." So the angels say, "Fear not." And the next thing they say is, "Get up." Now, why do the angels always say, "Get up"? It's because angels are not to be worshipped. There is no servant of God that deserves to be worshipped. No, friends, worship is due only to God. Amen. Worship is due to the Holy Spirit of God. Worship is due to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Worship is due to God, the Father. Only God is due to be worshipped. Amen? Hallelujah. Round of applause for God in His house. So first we saw His remarkable love. Then we saw His refreshing love. Now we will look at God's redeeming love. God's redeeming love. Looking at verse 11. "For there is born to you this day, in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Is that in your Bible? Can you believe that? Have you really thought about those words? Let's read that again. That's just too good to just gloss over. "For there is born to you." In other words, to me, to you. "There is born to you this day in the city of David." What is the city of David? Bethlehem. "A Savior who is Christ the Lord." Never forget that what we need is exactly what God the Father sent. We need what God sent. We need a Savior. We need to be saved from our sinfulness. If we needed knowledge, God would have sent a person that was primarily a teacher. If we needed some money, God would have sent someone that was primarily a financier. And on and on and on. But no, what we needed was a Savior. Please turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to look at picking it up in verse 4. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Somebody say amen when you get there in a paper Bible. You see, Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Amen? Amen. Romans 6, 23 says that the penalty or the wages of sin are what? Death. But look at over here. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. If you're there, please say amen. Amen. What's the first two words? "But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." There is a reason I begin and end every message with grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The work of God's redeeming love is that those who were dead in sin are now alive in Christ. Why? Because, stay there in that passage. Because God's nature is a God of mercy and He's a God of love. Can't you love a merciful God? That's what I need. I need a God that's not just going to show me grace, but He's going to show me mercy. Grace is God giving me what I don't deserve. Mercy is God not giving me exactly what I deserve. The wages of sin are death. That's what I deserve. In His mercy, He is a merciful God. And in His mercy, He draws us to Himself. In His mercy, He withholds His judgment. In His mercy, God provides a way of salvation. And in His redeeming love is a love that loves someone that does not deserve to be loved. God's redeeming love is a love that loves those who are utterly unworthy of being loved. His redeeming love is a love that compels God Almighty, El Shaddai, to sacrifice Himself for us. And He did this when? While we were yet dead in our sins. He did this what? And made us alive. We don't do this too often, but we're going to have responsive reading right now. Amen? And so, when I begin reading, you guys read along with me. Children, whenever I say to read our Bibles, how do we read, young people? Boldly. They got it. And so, young people, I'm going to make sure, want you guys to lead the way so the adults chip in here. Amen? Young Ronell, you got it? Amen. Yeah, look at that smile, man. We're going to read God's Word. Look at that. I love that. Reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. If you're ready, please say amen. Amen. Here we go. But God, who is rich in mercy, read along with me, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And all God's people said, amen. We are made alive together. Look around this sanctuary, folks. Look around right now. Look at everybody in this sanctuary. They're your roomies for eternity. So if you always sit over here, or you always sit over here, in heaven, you guys are going to be commingling forever and ever. Amen? I have it on good authority of the Word of God that carrot cake is non-fattening in heaven. Well, maybe I'm stretching that a little bit. Guys, Christ is alive in God's heaven, and Christ is alive face to face with the Father, and one day we will be as well. One day we will see Him clearly and not dimly as we see now. So not only His remarkable love, not only His refreshing love, not only His redeeming love, but now we see His renewing love. God's renewing love. Look, if you would, please, at verse 12. The young people are going to recognize this. There's a reason I say we're to do things with boldness. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through what? Faith in Him. Let's unpack this for a moment. Let's just take a second here. In whom we have boldness. This is an amazing point here. This is an amazing thing. We have boldness to reach and enter into... Wait a minute, I'm on the wrong passage, aren't I? Yeah. Well, you know what? That was a good one too, though. I was still over in Ephesians, guys. If you'll pray for Pastor Larry this week, please raise your hand. Please say amen. Amen. All right. Let's get back over here in Luke, where we were. All right, here we go. You know, that was still a good passage, though. I was going to try to pass that off, but it's nowhere close to what we were reading. All right, verse 12. Let's take this right now. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Pastor Larry says amen as well. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. So let's unpack this one for a moment. The angel is saying, essentially, this is how you will know that what I am saying is true. You will find... Guys, for us to find the things of God, we need to go looking for the signs. We need to go looking for the things that God has called for us to do, that God has declared to us. But what do I mean about that? Go looking in His Word for His plan for your life. The Holy Spirit will touch your heart. I have been in the habit as I drive around through our county and our city. If I see a piece of property that I think might be a place that God wants to do a work, I get out and I prayer walk that. I prayer walk that property. And I say, Lord, if it's in Your plans to give this to You, I claim it this very moment. I claim this piece of property. And Lord, I know that guy's got an inappropriate business right there. But God, You can use that for Your glory. Amen? Because God can do all things. You see, friends, we go looking for the signs. So what is the sign that the angel says that the shepherd should be looking for? None other than the fact that God is looking for us. You know, in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus says, "For I've come to seek and save that which was lost." Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." How is it that people are renewed and made alive in Christ? It is through our obedience. It is when we share the gospel message with other folks. We have one job. It's not our job to share, to save people. That is not our job. It's simply our job to share the good news. If you go and share the gospel with someone that you will find in 1 Corinthians 15, the first four verses, if you share that, you have a victory in Jesus right there on the spot. Whether they accept or not, that's not up to us. That's up to their relationship with God the Father. We are said, we're building up our crowns when we do that. I don't know about you, but I want, when I get to heaven, to have a lot of crowns. I don't want to be showing up with a paper hat. I don't want to be standing by the door, you know, like a smoldering shirt tail back there. I want to go into God's presence saying, Lord, I ran this race. I finished it hard. I ran strongly. Look at the signs here in verse 12 again, though. The sign that the angel was speaking the truth were very, very specific. It says, first, you will find a child. This word for child here is an infant. Newborn infant. God came to us in the most vulnerable version of us that He could possibly come. A newborn infant. There is nothing more precious, but there is nothing more helpless than that. Not only would the shepherds find a child, but this child would be wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now, there's all kind of incorrect theology on this. Some people say, well, that signifies His burial clothes. No. Swaddling clothes is when you take this newborn and you wrap that baby up and you bind it, and the baby feels secure like that. In other words, this young girl, this young virgin girl Mary, probably 14 years old or so at the time, this young virgin girl took this baby and she knew. And she wrapped it in the swaddling clothes. This was a mother and a father that cared and loved this child. Can you imagine Mary's heart saying, I just am wrapping God. I love that song, Mary, Did You Know? Did you know that you kissed the face of God? I wonder if Joseph ever took Jesus outside and they counted the stars and actually got the count. I wonder if Joseph and Mary, as they read the scriptures with their son, realized they didn't ask if he knew that. He had written that. Mary, did you know? What an amazing thing. So in other words, this baby was cared for by loving parents, securely wrapped. Finally, this child would be resting in a specific place, a manger. Really? What is a manger? Well, it's a trough. That's what it is. There's been a lot of incorrect symbolism assigned with this, primarily that this is a symbol of Jesus Christ coming into our hearts, which sounds nice, you know. They frame the conversation this way. The baby Jesus, Son of God, came into the world through the caring virgin girl. He's wrapped in the swaddling clothes so that He could be placed into our heart. Sounds sweet, doesn't it? Not so fast. The manger was a feeding trough where animals would place their nasty... Have you ever seen a cow's nose? Or these animals' mouths? That where animals would place their nasty, drooling, slobbery, greedy mouths to take for their own purposes. Got the imagery? In other words, the animal takes until the trough is empty. In other words, Lord Jesus, please come into my nasty, slobbery, greedy, nasty heart so I can continue to take and take and take for my own purposes. God knew that at the core of it, that's how humans would feel. And yet Christ came anyway. How you can realize this and not be overwhelmed with love for our Savior. Amen? You know, listen, I know my heart. And there's times when I've let everyone in here down. And if I haven't let you down yet, trust me, it's coming. Just be prepared to forgive me. And Living Hope Church says?
Amen.
Amen. Like, for instance, sometimes I forget, and we all forget, that we have people that are serving right now. Like right now, I'm just going to say, God bless Miss Annette Bachman. Brother Jim is at home sick, and she's back there right now in the infant care center. God bless her. We thank God for her. Listen, we are never asked, we are never commanded to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Did you know that? That's in the Scripture. We are commanded in Romans 10 to receive Him as Lord. He is the Lord of our life. And only then is there any possibility that our hearts will change. How is it that the Christian can be treated so terribly by the world today? How is it that the Christian heart can be treated so terribly and despised in the United States political system by people all over? And yet still look at Scripture in Romans chapter 13 and say, you know what? I have no choice here. Romans chapter 13, 1 Samuel chapter 12 commands me to pray for my leaders. I have no choice in this. God has commanded my heart to pray for our leaders. And guess what? It's a privilege. Why? Because you are to show the Shekinah glory of the Lord when you do that. You are to show the glory of the Lord by your compassion. You see, these folks in these different systems, whether it's Al-Qaeda and ISIS or different political systems or the atheists or whoever it is, they are not our enemies. They are our mission field. They are the ones to whom we are declaring the glory of the Lord in the highest. Amen? In other words, I'm going to stop right there. We'll be here all day if I continue declaring the glory of the Lord. But here's what I do know. Look at verse 12 again. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. I suspect that when the shepherds went on their way and found exactly what the angels said they would find, their hearts were renewed on the spot. Finally, not only his remarkable love, his refreshing love, his redeeming love, his renewing love, we now look at his reigning love. The reigning love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 13 and 14. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. The word used here for host means an army of angels. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of angels. And what exactly are they declaring? First, they declare glory to God. Then they say, we're declaring it not just glory to God, but we're giving it our highest praise. We're giving it our highest worship. Second, on earth peace. Goodwill towards men. Did you get that? Peace, goodwill towards men. Glory to God in the highest. Peace towards men. Peace, goodwill towards men. Don't miss the point here. The peace is that there is to be peace from God toward men on earth. That's the declaration here. That God, through His Son Jesus Christ, if you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, declares peace and goodwill towards you. In other words, when man lives in sin, he is not at peace with God, he is at war with God. But when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, there is peace from God and glory to God on the highest, from God with goodwill toward men. And so God sent His Son in the fullness of time, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Don't miss what's happening there in verses 13 and 14. The heavenly host was praising God because the alienation, the separation that existed between man and God was being solved in the birth of the Savior, which is, what does it say? Christ Jesus the Lord. Give Him praise in His house. Amen. God provides a way for us to come to Himself. How is that possible? How is that possible? Because the heart of Christ is a heart of love. It's a remarkable love. It's a refreshing love. It's a redeeming love. It's a renewing love. And it's a reigning love, because God sits on the throne and King Jesus is Lord. And all of God's people said, amen. Grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, be multiplied to each and every one of you here today, whether you're here or listening on the internet. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You've been so wonderfully marvelous.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.